This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. You are listening to the fastest growing radio show in America. Well, at least some of the doctrinaires are here. Man of a thousand voices.
That funny fella, Tim.
Tim Andrews.
Happy National Cereal Day, Eric.
The reigning queen of the invisible box, Autumn Fisher.
Hello.
Here, Gemma.
Nope.
So.
The handsomest producer in all of producery is not with us today.
So.
So we have English Nick.
Good day,
filling
sir.
In. Well, thank you for being here. All right, before we start all the festivities, we want to check in with Smiling Mark McKay on the Buford Highway water main break that's just north of I-285 in DeKalb County. Mark, are you there?
I certainly am here, and I can tell you over the past 30 minutes or so, Eric, that crews took a while, and I heard you and Scott talking about it, where they had to find where they can literally shut off the valve to this 48-inch break that happened in the early morning hours. Buford Highway expected to be shut down through most of the day north of I-285 in Doraville, Eric.
Just avoid the area. Smiling Mark, thank you for joining us, and we're, of course, going to have updates all morning and all afternoon long. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Hey, you're welcome, Eric.
All right, let's do this.
Headlines for Wednesday, March 7th.
That's my advice. Just avoid that area. Just avoid Doraville.
Stay away from the mud.
Exactly.
Take 285.
Right. Jared's not with us, so let's have some English Nick and some headlines.
All right, Trump's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn, is leaving the White House. He was an opponent to Trump's planned tariffs on imports of steel and aluminium.
Yeah, aluminium. He says he's from England.
Tariffs on aluminium?
That's right.
I did not hear that there are tariffs on aluminium.
You know, there was a couple years.
You bring breaking news, my friend.
After a couple years, I realized I've got to change certain words so Americans know what I'm talking about. So aluminum, yes.
Aluminum. So over there, everybody says aluminium.
Aluminium.
Yeah, I like aluminum, but I guess
heard an old wives' tale about why that is.
Well, let's hear your old wife. After all, you're now an old wife. So why don't you tell us?
So I told myself this story, and I believe it.
Yes, go ahead.
That there was a telegram coming from England about a new element that they found, aluminium.
Yeah.
But they left out the I.
Ah.
And so that's why we still call it aluminum.
Ah.
So what you're saying is...
Because every element is ium.
Right, right. Okay, so you're saying we're getting it wrong.
That's right.
Typical American, always thinking that we're wrong and they're right. I've had enough of this. You know what? You really get
the metric. Yes. Throw the metric system off a bridge.
Are you a patriot or are you not a patriot?
This is for Eric and the Von Hessler Doctrine Show. I say aluminum. If English Nick don't like it, he can go back to England.
Go back where you came from.
Take his green card away if you can't say that word correctly.
Take his green card
away.
Take
it away.
Well, this guy, Gary Cohn, he was way against tariffs. Now I think the market's going to open lower. I don't know where it's standing right now, but they look to open lower. People are kind of worried because he was the last free trader that was in the White House. And we've had so many people leaving the White House lately. You see all these stories about chaos in the White House. And Trump said, no problem, because everybody wants to work in the White House.
Everybody wants to work in the White House. They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of the West Wing.
They all want a piece of it.
They want to come in, sleep in Lincoln's bedroom, take a piece of it home with them, maybe steal some of the china. Everybody could quit tomorrow and I'd have new people in there by, I don't know, Thursday evening.
We're behind on every single...
Oh, that's the other one. I hit the wrong one.
Not worried about it.
Everybody wants to work in the White House. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House. And I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there.
I got the bachelor. He's going to come in.
Ari?
Ari, he'll come in. We've had people named Ari working for the White House in the past.
That's right.
I'll put Ari out there. He can break hearts. All over the place.
Yeah. This Gary Cohn, he lost a war. What's going on behind the scenes? You get this guy, you'll see him popping up on television a lot. This guy named Peter Navarro. And he's the main person in Trump's ear saying, we need to do these tariffs. Most people with any sense know that trade wars don't work. I like the fact that Trump is tweeting that, no, trade wars are easy.
No, they're good.
They're easy. But nobody says, President Trump, can you point to that trade war that worked? If they're so easy, are you saying, President Trump, they're easy to win? It's just that other presidents didn't know how to do it.
I'm saying that in Phantom Menace, when they put the boycott around the planet Naboo,
yeah,
it ended up being really good for the galaxy. And I want the same thing.
That's protectionism, right?
Sure,
there. They
sure.
protected the whole
those Chinese planet. Spacemen.
Paul Ryan disagrees.
What we're encouraging the administration to do is to focus on what is clearly a legitimate problem and to be more surgical in its approach so we can go after the true abusers without creating any kind of unintended consequences or collateral damage.
But let me just say this. What Gary Cohn did was honorable. That's the way that it's supposed to work. You serve at the pleasure of the president. The president is the one who is elected by the people. And by the way, this may seem snarky. I truly mean this. The American people have the right to be wrong. And if you are an advisor to the president and you think that he's wrong and his populist movement is wrong, all you have is your argument, and you make your argument, but you weren't elected. And too many people hang on and try to, you know, create their own power center. This guy did the right thing. He gave his argument. He gave his opinion. Trump didn't go with it. He thinks it's a very bad thing. I think it's a very bad thing. It's not a good idea. I'm hoping it's just about negotiations. I'm hoping it's a way to get Canada and Mexico to buckle in these NAFTA negotiations, because he's held it out there. Well, if you do what we want in NAFTA, Canada and Mexico will be exempted. I'm hoping it's being used as leverage and that the president doesn't really believe trade wars are good or easy to win. But this guy, you know, you can't stay the economic advisor, the senior economic advisor to the president, if you disagree on a policy this big and this sort of world shaking. So, you know, he did what you honorably do in those positions. When you can't serve the president and you disagree that much, you resign. And I love the statements from Gary Cohn and from the White House. It's just like every statement of everybody who leaves any business. Right? You know, it was dirty behind the scenes, but it's and we wish him the best of luck and green pastures.
In his further endeavors.
And the more flowery.
He's going to spend more time with his family.
Yeah, the more flowery the language is, the more punch em ups went on behind the scenes before it happened. And then he said, I thank very, you know, the president and for this opportunity. But in reality, Gary Cohn. Now, Gary Cohn used to work at Goldman Sachs on Wall Street, even though he's a registered Democrat. And if the market does, in fact, open lower, as it looked like it was going to, but I think it's now just like 240. I'm getting old. I can't read the monitor up there. But if it does open lower, it'll be because people on Wall Street are like, oh, no, this guy's out. Mm-hmm. And that really means he believes these tariffs are going to go into place. And we don't like that. But I don't want to be stupid like CNN. You don't peg a story to how the markets react initially. The markets go up and down. Tariffs aren't a bad idea because the markets open lower. Tariffs are just a bad idea. We'll be back. All right, this Jared Yamamoto is not here today.
What's up, guys?
It's not because he's sick. It's because he has some responsibilities, but I've got him on the phone here. Jared, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up? What, blah, blah, blah. Where are you?
I am at the University of West Georgia for Media Day out here, back at my alma mater.
Okay, this is where... See, he graduated from there, and I think he's the most famous person who ever graduated from there. So they always have him back.
The red carpet was rolled out for me, but yeah. I mean, I would say I'm the most famous one.
So is this like where people in journalism class and broadcasting, they get to talk to people like you who have real jobs and ask you questions?
Yeah, basically they tried to find out how I succeeded after college.
got the wool pulled over their eyes, huh? So
go West, young man.
Yeah. So are you on some kind of panel? Is there a name for the panel?
there isn't a name, but it's we're all the distinguished professionals, and so we're going to tell our life stories on how our career stories on how we landed where we're at now.
Well, why don't you try with me right now? So you're going to tell them how you became successful. So Jared, how did you become successful?
Well, I worked really hard, and started off as an overnight board operator for WSB Radio.
Yeah.
Became a producer, and then slowly but surely worked my way up through the ranks, and now I'm working for the Von Hessler Doctrine as the producer.
And you're going to say great things about me, or are you just going to talk me down?
Well, it depends. I mean, should I say great things? I mean,
who are the other people? Who are the other stars on the panel with you? Is there ex-secretaries of state or something? Who else is up there with you?
I haven't gotten the handy pamphlet yet, but I'm going to walk in there now, and I will grab the pamphlet. And how about I'll put it up on my Instagram, so that way you guys can all see it.
I like that. He's young. He understands the social media footprint.
Yeah, I trained him well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So this isn't your first radio interview today. I hear that you've already done the rounds.
Yeah, exactly. I went on our West Georgia's college radio station first, and just did a little homecoming on their morning
all right.
show.
All right, we got to go. I think we have to go. But I want that tape. I want to hear that interview. I demand
it. I'll pull it for you.
Do you want to stay successful in radio? I want that interview.
Okay, I will pull it for you.
All right, have fun lying to the kids. All right, I've been waiting for this for a while. We booked Eric Erickson a couple days ago. Couldn't be here. Glad to have him here now. He is the host of Atlanta's Evening News from 5 to 7 right here on WSB. He is the founder of TheResurgent.com. Eric, did I get that right? It's the before
yes,
Resurgent.
It is.
TheResurgent.com. And now here's the thing. We have a governor's race coming up, and I realized I really have not been paying all that much attention to it, and I'm assuming there are many people out there like me who are kind of in the dark about all this, so I want to bring you on, Eric, because you are finely tuned into this race, and you've been doing specials here at WSB at night, right? What is that all about?
I have. I invited in all of the candidates, Republican and Democrat, just to sit down for an hour and tell us who they are. It wasn't really combative. It wasn't the Tim Restert style. You voted for this 3 years ago, and now you're campaigning against it. Just what do you want to do with the state? What do you want to do with the urban-rural divide? Do you want to raise taxes? And they've been great conversations. It's been interesting to get to see these guys. And actually, you'll appreciate this being on radio. Has been very interesting to see them come in, sit, think, oh my God, I've got to sit here for an hour, and then 15 minutes towards the end, like, wait, can we do another hour of this? This went by too fast.
How'd that go by so fast? Yeah.
Yeah.
So just in general, to get my arms around this a little bit, do you have any idea how much money is expected to be spent this time around, all told?
Oh my gosh, millions. So you've got seven candidates, and five of those seven now have at least $2 million in the bank. So I mean, it just, you're going to have a ton of cash pouring through, particularly on the Republican side, because you've got five candidates, several of whom have very low name ID and need to boost it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be spinning ads all across the state. In fact, Clay Tippins, who's the newest entrant into that race, spin ads all except in Metro Atlanta because of the price during the Super Bowl, launched his first campaign ad.
My assumption is that on the Republican side, Cagle is considered the front runner, and on the Democrat side, there's only two, both named Stacey, right? And
yes. Did
Stacey Abrams is considered the front runner over there?
Yes, very much so. Abrams was the House Minority Leader on the Democratic side. She's had a good working relationship with Republicans, and she has a lot of money. Well, she had a lot of money in the bank. She's raised a lot. Mm-hmm. She actually has the least amount cash on hand right now because she's been out there hiring grassroots activists in every county to go door to door. So on paper, she doesn't have a lot of money left, but the reality is she has a full operation in 159 counties that very few of the other candidates have.
Yeah, my understanding, I'm going to get to Cagle in a second, but my understanding is that she is going to get some out-of-state money because
yes.
She would be the first African-American female governor in the country, right?
Right.
And the Democrats want to figure out a way to kind of turn this into a purple or blue state at some point. And so there's some really rich people out in California who feel like it's worth their money, maybe even if she loses, to get out the vote maybe for 2020.
Yes. There is real concern actually among a lot of Democrats who think that Stacey Abrams is perhaps overrated. She did voter registration drive that didn't pan out, got a lot of money. Some Some Democrats say she took resources from other places that could have been better spent. But she has attracted a real national following among progressives. In fact, they had a progressive group gathering in Atlanta over the summer called Netroots. It's the online political activists around the country. And Stacey Evans and Stacey Abrams were both there, and they wound up protesting these political activists. They wound up protesting Stacey Evans's speech, calling her out for being a white Democrat trying to white-splain things, demanding they put Stacey Abrams on the stage instead. Now, there are a number of people who believe that it was those behind the Abrams campaign who organized this protest. Nonetheless, it was very funny. Elizabeth Warren had to come on stage and shoo away the protesters and get Stacey Evans off the stage.
Oh, I guess she had like progressive credibility had to get up there too.
Yes.
So it feels like, I don't know if we're going to get that much out of it. If it's going to be as big as the Ossoff race was with outside money, but there are people outside the state who believe it's worth their money to put into Abrams, so she can rely on that a little bit, right?
Yes, very much so. The Democrats have bought into the story that Texas and Georgia are both going to turn blue this year. You can see from the Texas results last night that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in Georgia either.
Yeah, it turns out very quickly to divert to Texas, it didn't go by the narrative at all, right? I don't know a whole lot about it, but the idea was that Democrats were going to overwhelm Republicans.
In fact, they were seeing a massive uptick in Democratic votes. 105% increase is the number that was reported. I said it on my radio show. It was a New York Times story. 105% increase, only a 3% increase in Texas Republican votes. Well, when it was all said and done, it turns out that 105% increase was in 15 cities, not statewide. The Republicans actually turned out about double the votes Democrats did.
It reminds me a lot of times the races here where we're led to believe that, it could be a Democrat who wins the governorship, and then the night comes, or like the Ossoff race,
right,
where it just ends up being a lot less than the media leads you to believe. We'll find out on that. Now, this, I am not a fan. I don't know where you stand. I'm not a big fan of this Cagle. I find him to be an opportunist, and I haven't been following his whole career, but I didn't like what he did with the Delta thing. Where do you stand on that?
I think that you can't count out Casey Cagle because he has been lieutenant governor for 8 years now. He has intimate relationships with a lot of people who give lots of money, and he has the biggest campaign war chest. Typically, the lieutenant governor in the state wins, and whether you or I think it was crass politics on Delta,
it worked.
I kind of think that may have won him the race because it boosted his profile with a lot of people who thought he wasn't really a fighter, and suddenly he looks like one. Now, you and I can look at this and say this was political opportunity and its finest, but not everybody is as cynical as you and me.
Well, there's also, I come on and I say something like, well, you can possibly wave goodbye to 50,000 jobs from Amazon, because when they see something like that the weight of the state is going to be turned against one company because there's an ideological disagreement, perhaps they won't come here. But the truth is, it's kind of a double down, because I think a lot of social conservatives didn't want to see Amazon coming to the state anyway.
Yeah, look, I'm one of the people who thinks Amazon would be terrible for the state. I don't think they were ever coming to Georgia, to be honest. I think there's a reason Jeff Bezos has bought the most expensive house in Washington, D.C., and he did it even before putting out the bids.
Right.
I think they want to move there. And apparently they're up there right now getting non-disclosure agreements signed in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C. But there will be people who blame Casey Cagle if Amazon doesn't come. But again, I think that helps him in the Republican primary.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. My problem with the I just don't like the idea that he's the front runner. We haven't even, why is the front runner? It's just money, right? I mean,
it's money and name ID. He's been in the state legislature since 94, I believe. He's been the lieutenant governor for 8 years now. And as a result, the lieutenant governor typically gets seen as the heir to the governor if the governor's popular. Nathan Deal is actually pretty popular in the state, so Cagle can ride those coattails. The Achilles heel of every lieutenant governor in the state is that a lot of people will say, you don't have any accomplishments, they're all the governor's accomplishments. Cagle actually does have some accomplishments, and they happen to be on the education front. And if you listen to WSB radio, you will hear these education ads for Cagle that have been running almost nonstop for the last couple of months.
So the Delta thing was good politics, maybe bad economics.
Good politics and bad policy.
Yeah, good policy. Sometimes that happens.
But I would just like to say for the record here, I don't think Delta should have a tax break at all. We should just simplify taxes.
Okay, let me just say this. That's why it's been so kind of a little difficult to explain why I'm against this. I'm against against the opportunism, and I don't think you can call yourself a small government conservative, but rally behind, you know, all the weight of the state being turned against one company. But as a libertarian, I think that there are a lot of good reasons not to give this tax break. It's just not the reason that it ended up happening.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, my buddy Seth from the Mike Williams campaign, who'd like to get in touch with you, says Cagle's been lieutenant governor for 12 years. Not
okay.
Eight.
Okay. Now, see, I would just like for people to avail themselves, like you're doing. You're doing a great public service by having all of these candidates in, Republican and Democrat, with just a get-to-know-you kind of thing. Who are you? How do you see the state? And what I don't understand is why people, if it is true that Cagle is the front runner by 27 or 33 or whatever it is now, I don't understand why people wouldn't take this time and just get to know all of these people and find out who they are. If you're a Democrat, you only have two to choose from. If you're a Republican, you have five, right?
Right.
And it just seems weird to me that we have this sort of Trumpian idea right now in the South, especially of we don't want establishment people. And am I wrong? I mean, this guy Cagle is established. He's been around for I jokingly have called him Hillary Cagle just because not because of policy, because I feel like it's a kind of a it's my turn kind of campaign.
Look, I think it's fair to say that this is his real baggage in this race. Is he's been there for 12 years at a time. There's a populist movement in the country that doesn't want career politicians. He's seen as the most careerist of all of the people running, with the possible exception of Stacey Abrams, who's been in politics for a very long time. But again, you know, he's got the highest name ID, and the guy who has the highest name ID tends to win, or unless it's a negative high name ID. So the other candidates, to be able to win, are going to have to pile on him and make him radioactive, but they're going to have to do it together, because the more you try to attack someone, the more your negatives go up as well. So
sure,
you're going to have to find a candidate who can navigate that and who has the money and resources to combat Cagle, who, again, has more money in the bank than any of the other candidates.
So the real people, I'm sure you would agree with this, is it Brian Kemp would be the guy who's most likely to give him a run?
That it tends to be the way it works in the state, largely because they're the two people who have statewide footprints. Michael Williams, though, is tapping into the pro-Trump zeitgeist that is in parts of Georgia, trying to build his name ID. It seems to be working for him some. And Hunter Hill and Clay Tippins are kind of battling out for the military vote. Brian Kemp, I would say right now, probably just because he's won a statewide race, knows how to win a statewide race. There's no learning curve on that. So if I had to call it today, just objectively, I would say it would probably be Kemp versus Cagle. But look for a guy like Michael Williams or Hunter Hill to be able to tap in other forces to try to build their name ID.
You're thinking there's going to be a runoff? Nobody's going to come out of the primary?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a runoff. You've got that many people in. The only thing I can say for certain right now is with only two Democrats running, there's not going to be a runoff on their side.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to go on the record right now, and you guys can tape this and play it back later if you want to, but I'm going to go on the record right now and say that, in my opinion, the Democrat candidate's first name is going to be Stacey. Now, you can hold that against me if I'm wrong, but hey, is there a libertarian in this race? Is there a libertarian?
There may be. I haven't seen one qualify.
There's the problem with the Libertarian Party. All the ideas that I agree with, no candidates. Doesn't really work. You know what, Eric? Can I have a little fun with you here?
Go for it.
This is all in good spirit. But I was reading your page on WSB.
Uh-oh.
And, it's a fine picture. Everything's good. But there's one, they're talking about people who read you,
uh-huh,
nationally known people. Rush Limbaugh reads you.
Love him.
John Boehner. He's still, but it says here still Fred Thompson.
Yeah.
And, you might want to.
Listen,
know.
I got a direct line to heaven.
Okay. Look, if he's still reading you.
I don't think that page has been updated in 7 years.
I didn't know that you were a councilman in Macon, Georgia.
I had been. It was the worst job I ever had. Oh, I was on city council in Macon for a term. And I got to tell you, on that page, someone emailed me 6 months ago and said, did you know you're on from 9 to 11 or 9 to midnight on WSB?
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you to me, this is the opening blush of the gubernatorial contest. And I thank you for bringing us up to date. And you are on from 5 to 7 right here on WSB every day. And of course, run the great the resurgent.com. Eric Erickson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Stop. stop talking English, Nick. We have to start talking. All right, we all have a lot of time here, so give me start now with some headlines.
The dating app Bumble has banned images of guns from user profiles. So if you're looking for somebody who likes to have guns, you're not going to find them.
Is the dating app Bumble, I don't know, in this world. Now, you've only been married for a year, a little over a year. Maybe you know. Autumn knows everything about social whatever. Where does Bumble stand in the dating app world?
Bumble came out long after I stopped dating. The last dating app I used was Tinder.
Oh, okay. So, but it's above that kettle of fish or whatever.
Way above. People don't use that anymore.
Barrel of fish?
No.
Kettle of fish?
Shooting fish in a barrel?
Yeah. Bumble is saying you can't have a photo of yourself with a gun.
Yep.
But listen, doesn't that tell you more about the person you're going to date? Like when in this situation, you're on a dating app, right?
Yeah.
So you want to know, like maybe as a woman, you're into guns. Maybe you're not. But isn't that something that you would want to know about the guy before you dated them? So, you would know right there. I think it's a disservice, even though I understand why they're, in the wake of everything that's going on now. But
just don't ban pictures of ladies with possums, because I don't want to date a lady with a possum.
Yeah, you want to know that,
I
want right?
to know she's got a possum.
Or somebody has rotted food in their refrigerator. Show it to me. I don't want to find that out when we go home.
What about knives?
Knives are gone, too.
Oh, man.
I think it's a bad idea.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest, Hour 2 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am your lovable chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the Doctrinaires. Well, this Lamar Jackson, what do you think, quarterback, wide receiver? You don't know what I'm talking about. Let's do this.
More headlines for Wednesday, March 7th.
All I do is watch sports shows that are still about the NFL. I have to get out of it.
Even in the offseason.
In the offseason. And I know they're boring. I still watch them.
Get ready for some World Cup, mate.
You know what?
Coming up.
What's going on with the Atlanta United uniforms?
Well, they got a new... So you have your home strip.
Yeah.
Which is the five stripes.
Yeah.
The black and red. And then...
When you say strip, you mean uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you've got your away.
Speak English while you're here. English.
Your away colors.
Yeah, they were white last night.
It's a white kit.
It's peach, yeah. Nah?
It's in a way, now it's peach.
Yeah.
And I understand that because it's Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful, but peach is not a very inviting color.
Well,
not a good color.
Didn't do them any
is it
good
even
against,
a color? It's like halfway between colors.
Didn't do them any good against Houston and Houston on Saturday.
What do you think? Lamar Jackson. Nothing. Needs to be a quarterback or a wide receiver?
Who is Lamar Jackson?
That's what I thought you'd say. All right. I'm talking about the real football. Give me some headlines.
All right. So Trump responds.
Hold on. Autumn.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, quarterback or a wide receiver in the NFL?
Well, I think, a fullback.
Fullback? Oh, she doesn't know. All right. No. You know what? It's quite obvious.
He doesn't have
to
the
me.
Power to push through the line like
yeah,
that.
That's right.
That's true. Can't. Maybe safety.
No, you have no idea what you're talking. It's become obvious to me.
No, that, I know what I'm talking about. Ask me something else.
Your supposed NFL expertise is a ruse. It is not true at all.
No. Well,
there's an old...
Good comeback.
No. Hey, kick it through the uprights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five-yard penalty, holding.
Yeah, okay. You know what you're talking about.
Horse collar.
You know what? I stand
horse collar.
Correct.
All right.
Maybe he should just be left back in the dressing room.
Hey, you know what I want to know? Also, while you're here, while you're speaking on him, and you mentioned horse, did you see The Bachelor last night?
That what?
The Bachelor, the finale.
Oh, no, I don't watch The Bachelor, but I love talking about it.
I tuned in for 1 minute. I saw the last minute of The Bachelor, and there was a horse. I don't know what the horse was there. It's a horse.
That's for the next season.
Why? What does the horse have to
do? Well, they're going
to
marry the horse the next season.
Oh, the horse was announced as next year's Bachelorette.
Yes.
Mr. Ed.
They'll give it peanut butter. And just.
I don't like any of you.
All right. Give me a real headline.
All right.
This Autumn is obviously a phony.
Trump is also optimistic about talks with North Korea, Eric.
So, oh, yeah, but...
He tweeted that possible progress is being made.
Yeah, they supposedly we're going to have one-on-one talks with the North Koreans.
They seem to be acting positively, but we're going to see. Well, no, and I'm willing to go. As you probably noticed this morning, where we sent out through social media a statement, willing to go either way. Hopefully, it's going to be the proper way. The proper way is the way that everybody knows and everybody wants. But we are prepared to go either way.
Was that a riddle? he thinks it'll be a great thing.
I think that their statement and the statements coming out of South Korea and North Korea have been very positive. That would be a great thing for the world. Great thing for the world. So we'll see how it all comes about.
Let me go ahead. Yeah.
Well, by the way, I'm the one who did it. Obama couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Bush couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Clinton didn't do it.
Well, I'm here to tell you, Mr. President.
I'm doing it.
I'm here to say don't do it.
Why?
Because it's not only a bad idea, it's a dangerous idea. Let me tell you why.
Do you need a jab?
No. Yeah, first of all, you have openings there at the
plenty.
He's a great negotiator, this Von Hessler.
First of all, they're doing the same thing they've always done in the last 25 years or so, is they're belligerent, they get their technology to a certain point, and they realize, well, it's going to be a while before we make another technological leap. So in that period of time, we'll extend the olive branch, and basically what that does is it buys them time so that behind the scenes, they can keep working on their nuclear program without all the pressure, because you don't put down the pressure while you're having supposed something like peace talks. And then after they're done with that 6 months or a year or however long it is before they're going to make that next technological leap, they make up an excuse, say something the U.S. did, they have to respond to, and then they start doing the missile launches again. That's probably what will happen this time, because it's happened every other time. But the reason it's dangerous is because what you're telling other rogue nations or potential rogue nations in the future is, if you want to get a one-on-one with the President of the United States, get a functioning nuclear program. We should insist, before we begin to talk at all, one-on-one, it should be a big deal to be able to be a nation of that size that gets to have a one-on-one with the President of the United States when we have disagreements about things. And they should get rid of their nukes first, and then we talk. And then the message you send to the world is, if you want to get a sit-down with the United States, you get rid of the nukes if you're one of these teeny rogue nations who are only using the nukes as a way to get noticed and get things. And we'll give them stuff. We'll give them grain and stuff. It's simply not a good idea, Mr. President. It's
well,
dangerous.
I'm going to work on it. I know that you got your concerns, but look, I'm not going to get fooled like everybody else.
You're not going to get fooled.
He's going to do it the proper way, Eric.
I'll get China, whatever she will come along.
Is that her preferred pronoun?
Zier.
Sheer.
I don't know. It's all nuts.
Zing pong.
I just know he's going to be there till he's dead.
I don't buy this, and I don't believe for a second that North Korea has turned it around. Maybe you have your eyes open.
I'm playing 6D chess, believe me.
I just don't think. Into the sixth dimension.
Absolutely.
Chess into the sixth dimension.
A lot of people don't know that we're going to go, okay, China, you can have Taiwan. Give us North Korea. Deal.
All done. Then you have a united peninsula.
Beautiful.
Next story.
All right. The Nashville mayor, who had an affair with her bodyguard, resigns after pleading guilty to criminal theft.
Oh, yeah. She was the lady who said that God will forgive me, but people of Nashville don't have to.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a bit of a threat. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, if you want to disagree with God, go ahead. But
yeah. Her name is
God's forgiveness.
Megan Barry.
Yeah.
And she was having an affair with her
bodyguard
Robert Forrest.
So we talked about this a couple months ago, and she said that she was going to continue to be mayor, and she'd run again, and the people of Nashville would decide. But now they found out that she was basically, in a way, stealing money, because what she would do is she would give overtime to this bodyguard,
amongst other things,
so they could get it on there. He was clocking in, basically. That's basically what was happening on the taxpayer dime, and so she has to pay. She has to pay that back.
Yeah, he has
no
to pay,
jail
like,
time though, right?
Yeah, because she pleaded guilty and she does probation.
Yeah,
she also tweeted. She had the goal to tweet out. It's been an honor. It's been a privilege of mine.
Sure,
entire professional life to have the blessing and this opportunity to be your mayor. I love you, Nashville.
And in my mind, you know, Nashville's a dirty town, but in my mind, I can't help but wonder what all men would wonder. Did it ever go down in the office?
I bet it did.
Did it ever go down on the desk? And by the way, if you're a mayor or someone like that, do you worry that, oh, there's probably some sort of security camera? Oh, she was having sex with the bodyguard,
the head
of her security.
He knows how to take
He would know everything. Supposedly, they found a partially nude or nude picture of her on his phone, and she says, well, that wasn't taken with my consent. That must if that's the, if that ex- but I think the, how would you how do you snap a picture without somebody knowing?
She's a liar.
You think that could happen?
Mm-mm.
You're pretty creepy. You ever snap a picture when somebody didn't know and you're,
not of a woman.
You're consenting. That's my new PG way of saying that. Consenting. They were consenting.
Not when they were awake.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim Andrews. When you deepen, you know, like, this is the guy. You ever hear of the dark web? Tim Andrews is the only guy I know.
I've only heard of it because you say that he surfs on it.
He's the only one who knows how to get to it.
Yeah.
He knows
Tim is a spider on the dark web.
That's right. I have no idea how I would get. Where are you going, English Nick? What are you, did you unplug yourself or something? I need you here. I don't have Jared Yamamoto.
So let me tell you one thing, Mr. Von Hessler.
That's me, yes.
Yes. I have used the Tor Onion router.
Yeah.
And I have
What is that for? Because you don't want the CIA to see what you're looking at?
No.
Are you on the Silk Road? Are you buying heroin?
I went there to see what they were selling, and it scared me, and
it
I never went back.
You. Is it heroin? They got heroin up there?
Well, I don't know. The drugs or whatever, but they're like Hitman. And
oh, really?
I will kill
wow.
for you.
No, I don't.
It scared me. I never went back.
It scares me. I know people would say things like, I know a guy will bump them off for a 12-pack. It scares me that there are people who would bump somebody off for a 12-pack.
Where do you go for Hitman?
Hey.
I don't know. The Fed shut it down.
So. Yeah.
Well, they shut it down, and then there's the Silk Road, too, and all that. I mean, really disgusting people are going to figure out a way to get together and do
that
disgusting.
Movie. Silk Road 2.
Silk Road 2.
It was, I think Julia Roberts was in it.
Yeah.
It was after a divorce. She found herself.
She hired a hitman.
It was a rom-com.
She hired a hitman. Spice Road in India.
She hired a hitman and then fell in love with him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Great rom-com.
Richard Gere, I think, had a bit part in it.
Yeah.
He was so dangerous, but she couldn't help herself.
But then she had to talk him out of the... It became upon her to make sure he didn't do the killing.
She saved him.
I missed my call.
He was saving her, but she saved him.
Should have been a screenwriter. That Mellish always teasing us.
Oh, yes.
Just tell me now! Wait 10 minutes? Well, stick around, folks. All right, give me another story there.
All
English
right.
Nick, who's filling in for Jared Yamamoto.
Forbes have published the world's billionaires list.
Yes.
Our man from Amazon, Jeff Bezos, his wealth is now equal to 2.3 million Americans. 127 billion he's worth.
He's worth 120. He's the richest man in the world now. This Amazon guy.
Yeah.
The guy started with an online bookstore. That's pretty amazing.
He gets $10 a month from me and pretty much everybody else.
Well, he's got a great service.
Yeah.
That's what you know. He did it right, which was your first experience with Amazon before they were everything they are now was good.
Yeah.
You got your stuff within back
right,
then.
Consistent.
Yeah, consistently there within 2 or 3 days. It was fast turnaround. And so then the Prime was such a good deal. He didn't make any money, I don't think, until like 2006.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time he ran that site
in
the
red. Imagine if you bought that at like $25 a share or something. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing success story. But his wealth is equal to 2.3 million Americans. What's that,
$55,876 the median wealth.
We were talking about this off air. How many Chinese is he?
The median wealth in China is just...
I don't want to know about the median. Just tell me the number.
19 million.
19 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's as rich as 19 million Chinese. Hey, look. Boy, he's got to have somebody in his family. There's some cousin that he has to keep giving money
to. Hey, Jeff, give me that. You got my lounge. I'm going to release them pictures.
Christmas. Nobody's ever
Christmas
happy.
Christmas has got to be hell for him.
Yeah. All he got me was a Lamborghini.
You're lucky. Yeah. I got a Tesla.
Cheap SOB. You know what I'm sick and tired of? Is... virtue signaling. We hear this a lot. Virtue signaling. What's that mean, Tim Andrews? Virtue signaling.
I would assume that it means you say something to get pats on the back. I mean,
right.
If I were going to say
I'm so enlightened.
Yes.
I'm so enlightened.
I don't like Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know. I wouldn't. I think it usually has to do with, like, social issues.
Well, what a good man like, you are.
Like, you know, racial issues or sexual identity issues.
It's time for it's there time, to be more minorities in Hollywood.
And people, what was it? Francis McDormand did it with Inclusion Rider.
Yes.
Which basically would destroy creativity in what's supposed to be a creative process. Like,
but, Eric, equality of outcome is way more important than the product.
And so there's somebody's getting on my nerves. I watched, you know, the show Sports Nation on ESPN?
Yes.
Marcellus Wiley, who used to be a Buffalo Bill, and I love the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I love the Buffalo Bills. They've only brought misery and pain to my life.
Hey, they made it to the playoffs last year, buddy.
Sure did. And he turns out to be a really good host. It's a fun show, Sports Nation. It's a fun show. And but the and this other guy that's usually on, LZ Granderson, I believe he once worked for the AJC. I think he was a sports reporter for the AJC at one point. And he's really good at analysis. I've always liked him on ESPN. His analysis is spot on, so no problem there. But he has every day he wears a T-shirt. I cannot stand. Virtue signaling is one thing, but when you do it from a T-shirt or a bumper, it really annoys me.
What's his name?
The slogans.
Coexist.
LZ Granderson. Yeah, coexist.
That was like the first one.
As if it's my fault that all these different symbols can't get along. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just behind you at the stoplight, and you're blaming me because all these different symbols that somehow spell coexist don't get along. It annoys me. And this guy, LZ Granderson, I think he's a really good sports commentator. I like him. But every day he wears a T-shirt that, you know, just sort of, you know, it's usually about a black issue or a different, it's always some sort of social issue. And I... I feel like, although I got to say, he has a cool look, which is he wears a T-shirt and then he wears a cardigan over it. So don't get me wrong. It's a good look with the dreads. I mean, it all works. Mm-hmm. But I just figured, like, why don't you just wear one T-shirt every day? And it should say, I'm more enlightened than you are because I think about the things on my T-shirt and you don't. And just be done with it. I don't know how many T-shirts this guy has, but every one of them tells me, look at how enlightened I am socially, and you're not.
He's wearing one in this picture I just found of Tupac Shakur holding a sign that says, we need more thinkers.
Yeah, everything is like some sort of, you know, oh, I'm so much smarter than you are. And maybe he is.
On his Instagram, he's wearing Black History, Start with Slavery.
Yeah, exactly. It's a message.
Equality is another one.
And the weird thing is, Sports Nation is really it's like a fun show. It's not. It's about as far away from that kind of commentary. But anyway, I don't know. I think the guy's a great sports commentator. I enjoy listening to what he has to say, but always just slapping me in the face with, "Hey, don't forget, I'm more enlightened than you are." Let's do this.
Live from the Conspiracy News Desk in Midtown Atlanta, here's Tim Andrews.
That Marcellus Wiley, he turns out to be a really good host.
Yeah.
He's about the best thing the Buffalo Bills have produced in the last 20 years. So I like the show. Don't get me wrong. I like the show, and I like Granderson. I don't need to be told how much more unenlightened I am than him. Maybe I feel threatened.
Why don't you sit down?
But the thing is, his personality is not like the shirt.
You're not invited to this table.
He seems very inviting as a person. He seems very nice.
It's mansplaining. White-splaining.
That's how he gets you, man. He invites you in and then bam.
Yeah, look at this shirt, huh? You've been thinking about this? I've been thinking about this. I'm enlightened.
Enjoy your sports talk, but in the meantime, there's a deeper issue.
We need reparations now. So, what?
Meanwhile, Alex Rodriguez just signed a $28 million contract.
Yes, exactly.
That show should have a disclaimer that says retired. That the views of his T-shirts are not a reflection of ESPN.
Like our show?
Yeah, like ours, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed on the Von Hessler Doctrine do not reflect the official policy or position of WSB.
But see, then every time I do something like that and I say, I tune in for sports. I don't want to know about other stuff. I'm trying to get away from the world. And then I think, what do I do every day? I come in here and blah, blah, blah about what I think.
That's your job, though.
That's why I rationalize, like, well, people tune in to talk radio looking for that.
That's his T-shirt's job. Yeah. That's why the T-shirt's there.
The T-shirt gets the message out.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, Eric. This is open mic, Jim.
No, oh, I don't think I want to hear what you have to say.
Listen, I don't tune into your show to hear about sports.
That's true.
Let's get to it. I don't need it. Let's talk politics.
Exactly. See? I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. It's just, it's not that guy. It's just the whole, the virtue signaling has just gotten out of control. Silence equals death. The stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. How you cannot be a hypocrite. Anybody wearing that shirt, you are automatically a hypocrite. Why? Because it's impossible to be vocal about every problem in the world, right? So, even if you're really vocal about three important things in the world, you're still being silent about a million other ones, and so you are a co-conspirator in death as per your own T-shirt.
And if silence equals death, there would not be any monks.
That's true, and they're living.
They'd all die.
They make great beer and
bread.
They'd
all die.
I got bad news. We all die.
Well.
All right, this conspiracy desk is this Tim Andrews, who knows the dark web inside and out. It's really kind of creepy, but he knows all the conspiracy theories, and I'm interested in conspiracy theories because I've never heard a conspiracy theory that I believe.
Lee Harvey, Oswald, Kennedy.
Oh, you say that mockingly.
Well, of course.
Oh, you say, oh,
I agree that Lee Harvey Oswald pulled the trigger, but you have to examine who was behind it, who funded it, who gave him money.
All the okay, that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. That was done by many different committees, and they came to the conclusion he worked alone, but that's a reasonable line. But what's not reasonable is, you know, there were hobos on the railroad tracks, and there's a second shooter.
E. Howard Hunt.
All this stupid stuff about the magic bullet that supposedly moves around. The bullet didn't move around. The bullet went in a straight line.
That's
the
all
guy,
distraction from
John
the truth.
John Connolly moved around.
It's all distractions from the truth. And let me tell you, Sam Giancana, who was the mobster who gave Illinois to John F. Kennedy.
Yes, yes.
And then was angered by his brother Robert because he was investigating organized crime.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
During World War II, Giancana and other mobsters worked with the CIA to help in the invasion of Sicily. Now,
what?
Yeah, see, you don't understand. It's much deeper than you could ever imagine.
I guess it's almost like
that's a great thing to say. It's much deeper and much more complicated than you could ever
imagine. That's what they do. That's what they do.
You're like, I don't know then.
But then he failed in his invasion of Cuba with the Bay of Pigs, which really upset the mobsters because they wanted their casinos back.
Oh, you're mixing it all together.
Oh, no, it's all the same
thing. He even tried. They would give him credit for trying.
Jack Rubenstein, the club owner, the strip club
guy. Jack Ruby killed him.
Rubenstein.
Oh, well, I don't know what that means.
That is his name.
Are you saying
he worked with Meyer Lansky? Yes, he worked for Meyer Lansky.
You know what I mean when I say globalist.
You'll be trying to sell me seeds pretty soon. These conspiracy theories.
Well, you're going to need your seed vault for this.
Hold
first,
on, I want to say though, I'm not done with my. I know I will filibuster until you don't have time to tell me your thing.
Okay.
But that's what they do, the conspiracy people, when you talk to them for like 10 minutes and you hit everything that they hit you with logic and reason, at a certain point, they just tap out and go, man, you just don't get it. You know, like, and they give you this idea of, you know what, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid and you do what you're told and you just can't understand. I'm like, no, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm demanding logic and reason from you.
No, you just don't get it, man.
You wouldn't understand. Maybe I wouldn't understand.
You just buy the lamestream.
I've been talking to you for 15 minutes and I think I'm smarter than you are. Don't tell me that I don't understand. All right, now give me this silly conspiracy here.
Well, this all ties into the ability of some of these conspiracy theorists to keep dragging you into other misdirections when you're confronting them with logic and stuff. It could be the fault of YouTube. As we look at one of the stories in the conspiracy desk mailbag or whatever it is, YouTube.
No, it's just on the desk.
Yeah, it's on the desk.
You come in and there's a bunch of a pile of papers.
Find it here.
Yeah,
here it is. All right.
YouTube has an algorithm that prioritizes conspiracy theories. Now this comes.
Wait, is this a conspiracy theory about conspiracy theories?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I like this.
According to Guillaume Cheslot.
Oh, he's good.
Yes, he's a PhD. In computer science. He worked for YouTube on their original algorithm in 2010. Now, 2010, and this makes sense because that's when the conspiracy videos started popping up.
Oh.
And when you watch a video on YouTube, YouTube's brain says, well, he might like this one.
Sure.
Or she.
Well, and that's true, though, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, if you watch one stupid, if you show YouTube that you're dumb enough to believe in one conspiracy video, why wouldn't it feed you 10 more?
So you watch one video saying, I wonder who built the pyramids. Now, we know who built them, but I wonder who helped them.
Yeah.
So you watch one alien conspiracy
video.
Didn't
Ben Carson say it was Joseph?
It was to store grain.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so you watch
Led Zeppelin.
Videos.
Led Zeppelin helped with the pyramids.
And then the next time you look at YouTube, there are 10,000 of the Graham Hancock. And ancient civilizations.
But isn't that true about everything?
It is.
So but, if you're a smart person and say you looked up Plato and Socrates, wouldn't you be fed a whole bunch of Greek philosophers?
You would, but the reason they're talking about this story right now about YouTube and conspiracies is because YouTube has now implemented a new algorithm that'll allow that to not happen.
Oh, and now people... So now there's a conspiracy theory that there's a conspiracy to keep conspiracy theories from rising up on YouTube.
Yes. You got it?
I got it. Look, I'm fascinated by this whole
conspiracy. You're in the Norm MacDonald rabbit hole of YouTube.
I am, because I like to laugh.
I'm in the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Yeah. There's no getting out of your rabbit hole.
No.
God knows.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Almost live from Sherwood Forest. Hour 3, the podcast hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. Eric's still here. Tim Andrews is still here.
Yep.
Jared Yamamoto is still not here. English Nick is still here.
Yarp.
Autumn Fisher is here.
Yarp. Some Hot Fuzz. Great movie. Oh, Slam Pack movie.
Hey, get your own material, man. Nothing bothers me more than when I find out other people are doing things Shucky funny nugget. On my show.
I am from the part of the country where they talk like that, so I can use it if I want.
You know what annoys me? It annoys me people who are always doing lines from movies. You're not one of these people.
No, I don't remember the lines.
I can't remember the lines.
Yeah, baby.
I've seen Citizen Kane 30 times.
Times and times.
And I can't. There's one line.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And you've never even seen that movie.
I haven't. I want to see it.
Network? Because she just did Network.
I believe it's overrated. I don't know. There's
I just like that guy so much.
No, yeah, he's great, but I don't know. That movie...
I want you to go to your window.
It doesn't seem real to me, because they give him a show where he talks to the reality, and it just doesn't feel real to me at all. I don't know. Just something about it. And my friend, Scott McKee, over at Turner Classic Movies, heard me say that once, and he immediately texted me, "You got to give that movie another shot." And I saw maybe like 30 minutes of it at like 3 o'clock in the morning a couple weeks ago. And it was just still, I don't know, there's something about it that doesn't seem genuine.
All those movies from that era have that little tint, like The Candidate with Robert Redford.
No, but I love those.
Oh, I love them, but there's just this, okay.
But there's a real, there's a cinema.
I like that review.
Okay.
It's just something like, okay. The Candidate
and a lot of those have like that cinema verite look that I like. You know what that is, Autumn?
Cinema Veritas?
Yeah. No, that's you're confusing libertarians with...
is that right?
Veritas. Project Veritas.
Cinema Verite. It's like fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, it's like you just had the camera in the room, but they're actors, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like it's a real thing, you know?
Like all the
sure,
president's
it's a very loose kind of...
Do you like
somebody
that movie?
Look it up for me. Verite.
Do you like that movie, All the President's Men?
Last time I saw it, I did. I probably haven't seen it since the early 80s.
Oh, I watch it every time it's on.
Yeah,
it's characterized by realistic documentary.
Yeah.
Blah blah. Artificial.
So the candidate is like that. There's a lot of where you just feel like it feels like a documentary, even though it's actors. Robert Redford.
Would you say the French Connection is the same?
Yeah. A lot of those 70s movies had that
God,
look.
That movie's so good.
What was I watching the other day that, and I just thought, you know, I think
the
we
Elvis,
had
this. Autopsy?
The Elvis Autopsy.
Did you set your DVR for Farrah?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I missed Farrah. It'll be on a million times, right? I mean, you don't do a show like that without playing it 9 billion times on reels.
Right.
I was watching. You know, with all these superhero movies and everybody's all Wonder Woman and Black Panther and you know, all of them. It's like, do they make movies about just people anymore?
Yeah, there's some indie movies about people.
In the 70s.
It's not blockbusters.
But I'm saying the big Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah,
that wasn't a big Hollywood movie.
That's not a big Hollywood. That's an independent film. Like, you know, it's, I look, okay, she fell in love with a fish. I get it. But are there
an allegory for much more.
Are there any movies? In the 70s, there were a lot of movies that were just about, like, guys who Schlubs. Worked at a factory or something, and just they got in some sort of mix-em-up.
Norma Ray.
No, that was too... I never liked that.
Oh, like, you don't also like the Union.
What else do you
Shades
like?
Of Grey.
Yeah.
Also, good movies about cops. You don't get many of those anymore.
Yeah, the cops are just...
The Dirty Harrys and the stuff. They're just like, you know, yeah, he was kind of a hero, but he was still a regular kind of cop.
He was an anti-hero is what he was.
Yeah.
You know, not your typical hero, because he did what had to be done.
He puts my coffee with no cream.
I like... Is it the second one that has the Cagney and or Lacey in it?
Second one has
is it Cagney or Lacey?
It has I forget her name.
Khaleesi.
I liked that show, by the way. Cagney and Lacey.
I never saw it.
It was,
the girl. It was Jane Curtin, and then the lady who was in the second Dirty Harry movie.
It wasn't Jane Curtin. Jane Curtin was in Kate and Ally.
Oh,
which was a sitcom.
Oh, Cagney and Lacey was a cop.
Thing. Yeah, it was
right.
I don't know who the other one was. Wasn't it somebody famous though?
Yeah.
Who are the two people? Autumn. Who are the two people that starred in Cagney and Lacey?
I'm texting Jared because he'd know.
Yeah, he'd know. I should mention that we don't have a Facebook Live.
Sharon Gless and Tyne Daly.
Tyne Daly is who I'm thinking of.
She was love interest in Dirty Harry.
No, she was a cop.
She was a cop. He got partnered with a female cop, and it's really way before political correctness, but it's all about political correctness, and he doesn't. But throughout the film, he ends up being fond of her, and I can't spoil the end, right?
But you're going to catch him in a skirt.
Rather shocking. Yeah. He's very reluctant to take, because it's the city council that decides.
Yeah.
Because they're always trying to, you know, get Dirty Harry
to
play by the rules, and he doesn't play by the rules. Why can't they just understand that? We could get over so many trouble, so much hardship, if you just understand that Dirty Harry doesn't play by the rules.
But he gets the job done in the end.
That's right.
Yeah, there's more carnage.
Yeah.
Is there a part in the movie where the police chief's like, I want your badge on my desk?
Mm-hmm.
There probably is.
Always in Dirty Harry movies. Yeah.
Are you feeling lucky, punk?
That's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I like Magnum Force.
It happens like he's walking. It's in San Francisco, which is the weird thing about like such a hard sort of like what we think of as a right-wing character like Dirty Harry. But I think before that scene, isn't he like getting a hot dog or something inside some diner or something?
Yeah, massive shootout.
And then there's
the diner's from Sudden Impact, because that's where he gets his coffee and he comes back. She usually puts cream in my coffee, which tells me something's wrong.
I still think he walks out of the diner or a hot dog.
It's the hot dog stand. The diner's the go ahead.
Okay.
Make my day.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just watching.
But anyway,
those.
It's good. I like the second one a lot. I like the first one a lot.
All
the second one a lot. And then the other one has. It's funny. The second one has Cagney and or Lacey, and the third one has Starsky and or Hutch.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that is Hutch. David Soul.
David Soul.
It's Magnum Force. He's the motorcycle cop. Yeah.
Don't give up on this, baby.
That's the last one. The fourth one.
I like Magnum.
No, it's not the no. No.
Second
Magnum Force
third.
Is the third.
Yeah.
And then they didn't make them for a couple of years.
Okay, yeah, you're
And then the Go Ahead, Make My Day one came, which was what, Sudden Impact?
Yes. Do you know all those movies in the 70s where they had the loner, the angry loner, or whatever, the rebel cop or whatever, the criminal.
No, he's down on his luck. He's like a great cop, but then you go back to his house and he's broke, he's divorced.
His
wife
apartment.
Doesn't let him see the family, and he's drinking bourbon at 8 o'clock at night on a Wednesday.
Well, the criminal's always.
I'm kind of the Dirty Harry of music down. Radio in this time.
So the criminal is always some like stereotype black dude from the 70s. Hey man, I'm gonna be robbing.
No, I like the informant is always like that. Hey brother,
tell you this.
Yeah. You would never fly.
Fuzzy.
Yeah, it would never fly today. They look like dressed up like your stereotypical pimp.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure, what's up, man?
Wonder what
Huggy
on,
Bear.
Yeah, Huggy Bear was on
Starsky and Hutch.
Was he on Starsky and Hutch?
Uh-huh.
The great Antonio Fargas.
Yeah, who was Robert Blake's pimp?
Informant.
No, in what was his ship?
Beretta.
He had like a almost the same character.
Ooh.
So he would get they all had people that they got information from.
Rooster, a streetwise pimp.
Well, I can think of
a streetwise pimp.
First of all, if you're not a streetwise pimp, you're not a pimp. Like, what kind of pimp is
not
streetwise?
You're no good pimp if you're not streetwise.
If you're not streetwise, you're not
living safely in the burbs in Alpharetta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the 70s, all those roles, we got to get black people in movies. Well, here, you could be a criminal.
No, it was all exploitation. Right. Yeah, it was all.
And then in the 80s.
But every once in a while, there'd be like a, I think in Dirty Harry, there's a few black cops.
Yeah.
And sometimes doctors. Doctors in the 70s would be every once in a while the doctor that came, because after the cop got shot, then the doctor has to come out to the waiting room and tell you how he's doing.
Well, in the 80s,
and then the cop's wife is there. What?
Yeah, in the 80s, they became lieutenants.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills Cop and
Starsky and Hutch, Captain Dobie's a black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was always mad at Starsky and Hutch.
It's kind of a weird thing, like that period of time where black actors couldn't get good roles. This is every once in a while, they would always be like, he's the general.
Yeah.
Something like, hey, you know what? Can we get a few roles where we're just like attorneys? Let's see. There's got to be something between pimp and general.
Why don't you just make me the protagonist? That way I can enjoy the film.
Yeah. I keep saying a lot today. Oh, you know why? Because I know I'm forgetting something, which is to tell people there is no Facebook Live element today because Jared Yamamoto is at West Georgia.
And his instructions didn't work for Nicole.
The instructions he left for the wonderful Nicole Bennett, our digital producer, didn't work. So it just happened that way. But I want to let people know that Mr. Mosquito Control is where they need to go. To get take care of them damn mosquitoes, those critters.
It's going
to
be time soon, man.
Absolutely. It's coming up now. They did my yard just last week. It's fantastic. Sit around your yard, no mosquitoes. MRMR.biz.
So you book them for a season of treatment, you get the first one free.
Yeah. The guy who owns Mr. Mosquito Control, he loves rock and roll.
Oh, does he listen to the river?
Loves driving and crying, and loves racing. Me and this guy were made for each other.
You guys are separated at birth.
So you need to get your mosquitoes done by... This is the real thing. This guy loves the show.
And you both hate mosquitoes.
Who likes mosquitoes?
It's got bats. Somebody. There's somebody who likes them.
Bats like them.
Somebody has a fetish where they
are
like
you
to
listening?
Get bitten. Bats.
Oh, bats are dying off, though, because of a fungus created by Monsanto.
Oh, yeah. Well, Monsanto never did anything good.
You guys are so fancy with your Monsanto.
Yeah.
Yes. Monsanto.
Excuse
Monsanto.
Me. Pardon me.
I put my flowers in a vase.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. My name is Dr. Paul Kersey.
Yeah?
Have you guys, you're talking about 70s movies.
Yeah.
Criminals.
Yeah.
You seen the new Death Wish?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, with Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Is it out yet, or is it just commercials?
No, it's about to be out, I think.
It's coming out this weekend, and a lot of people are upset at Eli Roth for making dad horror.
Dad horror?
What?
The angry white man shooting minorities.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I looked on the commercial. It seemed like everybody's white that he's going after. They show you killed like two of the guys.
Yeah, as a mechanic, he pulls the chain in the car.
Yeah, he goes, oh, you're not going to kill me, are you? And he says, no, Jack is. So he pulls the jack out of the car.
In my day, we shut Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, nobody does.
Jeff Goldblum's the
I know. Isn't he wearing like a funny hat?
He's wearing like the goofy Archie hat and he's beating the wife with a leather jackstrap.
Talk about sequels. There was like 5 Death Wish movies with Charlie Bronson.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a sequel. This is a reboot.
Right.
This is a reboot of the original. Yeah.
The original. And
Paul Kersey.
Yeah. By the way, that's the best Charles. Nobody else is doing Charlie
Bronson.
No one's
doing
only
Charles.
On The Simpsons.
Oh, do they do them on
20 years ago.
Yeah.
So are you doing Charlie Bronson or are you doing The Simpsons Charlie
I'm
Bronson?
I'm doing Dr. Paul Kersey.
Okay.
He's doing the man.
Again, what's up with me today with the ahs?
I grew a mustache so you couldn't tell I'm Native American.
Yeah, I see that. Bruce Willis looks, this Death Wish looks terrible because you can't make a movie like that in politically correct times. Like now. It's like when I watch these commercials.
Stop making reboots.
Yeah.
Just stop. Well, it doesn't matter. It almost, I don't even care anymore if it's good.
Your Honor?
You're right, Autumn.
Just knock it off.
If
make
I
something
may.
New.
For the defense of reboots,
yes.
Twin Peaks.
Well, that's
that
not
wasn't
a reboot.
A reboot.
That's not a reboot.
That was called the reboot, though.
No, it was called The Return.
Oh, The Return, that's right.
No, yeah, it was
it's
25 years later.
Of the same story.
And the same guy did it.
And by this, exactly, the same people. Now, just stop. It doesn't need to be done. Oh, yeah. We got it.
The Karate Kid.
Nobody's
stop
cheap.
It.
Nobody's seen that. That movie is so bad. I watched 5 minutes of it. Now, the original Karate Kid isn't a cinematic masterpiece.
Of course not.
But it's a good film.
Yeah.
It's
and
a fun
meant
movie.
It something to kids at the time.
Yeah, yes. Me.
And it can stay there. We don't need to, I don't need to
we need Jaden
relive
Smith.
My own childhood for Elliot. Elliot's going to have her own thing.
Well, they also, they used to, the reason that remakes were ever done was, in the 30s and 40s, they made all these great movies, and there was no VCRs. There's no way to see them.
No re-releases.
In theater, no re-releases. So that 20 years later, they say, hey, you know what? That was a good movie. Let's do it again. There's one movie that Clark Gable made. He's the lead actor in the 30s, and it's great. I can't remember what it's called. Red Dust or something. It's about it's a weird movie. It's about a guy that's like on a rubber. He's in some African country or something, getting rubber, like growing rubber plants. And it's almost like a plantation. It's a plantation in another country, and he's the white guy there. But it's this great movie.
What's it called again?
I think it's called Red Dust or something. Look at Clark Gable and look for something very
1932,
earlier.
Red Dust.
Yeah. Great. 32. Isn't it amazing that by 1932 they were making great movies already?
Pre-code. And then the code came in and you couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, no, but they remade that again. Remade it again. That's a stupid thing to say. They remade that. In the
John Ford
50s, and Clark Gable's in that one too.
Mogambo.
They called it Mogambo.
Gave it an African name.
It got more racist as the years went along.
Boogity boogity.
But it's the same. It's the same. It's the same movie with the same actors. But how many people in the early 50s or whatever when it came out had been in a movie theater in 1932 to see the original? So there was some sense to it. You weren't going to see.
And that's not why they're doing it now.
No, they do it now. Because they're out of ideas.
He has his hands on Jean Harlow's breasts. Yeah. In the film poster in France.
32 or the 50s?
32.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing it now, not because they're out of ideas necessarily, but because studios won't give money to ideas that they
can't
see a number on a spreadsheet that potential money will be made.
But you know what? The truth is...
Like, people know what Battleship the Game is. Let's make this movie called Battleship the Movie.
It was
because
horrible.
People, at the very least, will recognize that I know that name.
And all I know, is when you write that screenplay, at some point somebody has to say, "You sank my battleship." I guarantee you that's
somewhere. Liam Neeson said it.
Oh, did he?
You sank my battleship.
But here's the thing, doesn't it rest with the viewing public? If people keep going to see crappy movies,
we
they're going to keep making them.
We don't.
Somebody's going to see them.
People are idiots.
No, listen. Movie theaters.
Broad brush.
Okay.
And it's been fun here on WSB.
Individuals are smart.
Seems like a bit of a generalization, but okay.
I'll
go with it. People are idiots.
We understand.
I agree.
We understand what is good and what is bad.
The Kardashians are one of the most popular shows in television.
Right. So is Big Bang Theory.
You know what? Speaking of, you brought up me going down the Norm Macdonald rabbit hole. Mm. I was rewatching his last stand-up, Hitler's Dog.
Oh, that's so
which
funny.
Is hilarious. And he's got the whole thing in there about how only 13 or 14 men ever walked on the moon. He's talking about fame.
Famous. Yeah.
It's like, you'd think there's only 14 men who ever walked on the moon and came back. And you would think that they'd be wildly famous. But only the first couple of guys are famous. And he's saying the last guy who was on the moon was something... Harrison. Something.
I don't remember.
Anyway, but he names the guy, and he says, that guy's, you'd think the last guy who walked on the moon would be famous, but he's not famous, but some lady with a big ass. It's really a giant ass.
Well, she's done so much for society, yeah.
But it's so true.
It is.
Why don't we know all the people who ever walked on the moon? The whole history of the world.
I don't know, man.
That's why. Everybody should watch
Norm Macdonald.
Anything with Norm Macdonald in.
What's that? That's shame.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to keep doing it, but I don't keep doing it because then people are like, oh, he just takes it off.
People are stupid. Individuals are smart.
Sure. I get what you're saying. I had no problem with you making this statement.
All right.
I think it's fine.
Well, she's upset that I said something about the Kardashians, so she had to counter with Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I don't want
you to. No, but you guys are making the same point.
I'm making the same point. I'm not going against you.
I thought
you
were mad.
Think Big Bang Theory is smart?
No, hell no.
No.
I misunderstood her intent.
All right, you guys are having some
That's why you guys aren't together anymore.
Some kind of fight from 15 years ago. Yeah.
I'm going to my room. I'm going to the office.
I'll be a part of that.
Do you have to smoke in the apartment all the time?
I can't imagine that she spoke like that ever, but you say that she did.
She did Dexter.
It was when I was afraid to say what I really wanted to say.
Yeah.
I guess I used this weird voice to sort of make it like it's coming from me, but
do you maybe want to watch TV with
So you guys were together for a year.
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than
you
that.
You stopped getting it on after like 3 months, and then it was just
I don't remember.
It was just like living with each other and some sort of horrible thing.
It's probably miserable for her. Way more for her than me.
Well, yeah, because you're a guy. You can always walk away and do things. And you were of age at the time. She had limited entertainment
options. She turned 21.
Of age. Of age.
Our second date, she got her fake ID taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, that should have been, in a movie, that would have been, you know, sort of a, what do you call that?
A turning point?
No, that's when you... When you allude to something that's going to happen later.
Foreshadowing.
Right?
No, the guy took the idea and goes, this is fake. And I looked at Autumn and I went, you're not 21. No.
This whole thing has been.
It's a sham.
An absolute sham. What was I supposed to talk about that you said I wouldn't talk about? Oh, you know, I'm genuinely interested in this.
Do you want to talk about the RuPaul now?
I don't mean RuPaul.
We're going to talk about Nick's thing.
So. Nick's you thing? Got in touch with Nick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you asked him to get you into what show?
A Trixie Mattel show. She has a show.
And who's Trixie Mattel? I don't know.
Trixie Mattel is a drag queen who is currently on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3. So she was on season 8 of just RuPaul's Drag Race, and now she's on All Stars.
Now, but hold on here. So what... you are a perfect audience for reality shows and podcasts because you will actually go see the live versions of that.
Well, this isn't a podcast.
I mean, no, I said reality shows, and I mean, that's a reality show, basically, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
You'd call it a reality game show.
But I'm more into, I'm not necessarily.
Variety show.
I'm not as into.
a little bit of everything.
The all-star, like the drag race. I'm not necessarily as into the reality show as I am into.
Why are you into Trixie drag Mattel. Queens? So this is a guy who dresses up as a girl. What's wrong with you? What's going on with you?
Oh, I don't know, but I love it, and I'm obsessed with her.
I think that Autumn, who is a woman, Autumn is a lady. But I think Autumn would rather be a guy transitioning into a lady
than
being born a lady.
No, I don't want to be...
Autumn doesn't like the fact that she's so damn normal. She's cis... What do you call it?
Cis-normative.
Yeah.
She's cisgender.
No, yeah. This has nothing to do with sexuality.
No, but you seem very... You're very...
I'm fine with my sexuality.
No, I know that. But you think it's a little bit boring, I think.
No.
You think these other people are very fascinating.
No, you are totally in the wrong place.
No.
But I think...
Go with me. My narrative
you're
is better.
Wrong.
My narrative is better.
I think where it's coming from is right now I'm very limited. Mm-hmm. Not just in a macro level, but in a micro level.
Sure.
So I can't do these little things that I want to do. Tons of obstacles are in my way constantly with, you know, Pete's schedule, what Elliot needs, parenting her, figuring out how to parent him because he's getting older and more pissed off and you have to parent him now instead of just like fulfill his needs.
Yeah.
So all these tiny things in my life are preventing me from doing what I want, like eating breakfast when I want to. Going to the bathroom when I want to.
So this this means you want to go
making my hair a certain way that I want to.
How does this get to a drag show?
Hold on.
All right.
And then in a macro level, I can't just zip off anywhere I want to. I can't talk to Travis when I want to because kids are talking to me. Ellie's yelling about something. We're having to tell her to hold on and teach her how to be patient and wait till they say, excuse me. All of this BS.
Yeah.
So,
it's terrible.
Watching someone like a Trixie Mattel be free with not only who she is on the outside, but also the way that she performs. I'm also really into this other drag queen called Katya, who is also like, she's a former addict, and she's like a wild person, but she's really interesting and really, really smart. And she has a very fearless performance style that I really love. And it's just this like...
What does she perform? Like, this is a question I want to ask.
It's the way that she speaks. It's the way that she talks. It's the way that they improv together.
If you go to a drag show, like this other lady that you're trying to get to her, is this in Atlanta or where you are?
It's in Atlanta.
Okay. So you're going to fly to Atlanta to see this drag show. In my mind, I would think
it's a little bit different. It's not just like the traditional drag performance where they just come out and do some jokes and do some flips and like death drops and lip sync.
Yeah.
It's like she has a country album, like a folk album that's really, really fun and sweet. And then she has another album dropping soon. And I so and she plays her, you know, she plays the guitar. She plays that little
ukulele
harp thing.
Oh, okay.
That thing. What's that called?
The harp thing? Harpsichord.
Does she have fierce makeup that would scare children?
It is very, it is not like, oh, she's trying to be a legit unclockable right. woman. Mm-hmm. She looks awesome. Like she has like really interesting eye makeup and real like severe divine. Cheekbone.
Now here, see, I would think that that would sound great for about, I don't know, 12 minutes. I don't know what you, I mean, somewhere around the 40-minute mark of the show, what's going to happen there? Now you're just like, well, let's go into my diary. Like, you're just kind of like creating reasons to do something
new. No, she's real funny. She's a comedy queen.
Oh,
so
really?
She's not just, so there's different kinds of drag queens. There's comedy queens, there's performance queens, and there's pageant queens.
Now, you referred to her as she. They yeah. like to be referred to as she because they're guys just dressing up.
It depends. I mean, whatever you want. Yeah. If you want to talk about Brian, her name's Brian Furcus. If you want to call him he, that's fine.
I don't know. You can call me Brian or whatever you like.
No, he doesn't sound like that. He sounds like a man.
But I like is how serious all of it gets. You should be like a publicist for these people.
I'm obsessed. I don't know what it is. So, I mean, there are times where I get obsessed with different people. I used to be obsessed with Pete Holmes. Mm-hmm. I used to be kind of obsessed with Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
I used to be obsessed with...
What do you think that is?
Wait, who else was it?
Before that, Crocodile Dundee, when you cried.
Sure. Yeah.
She cried because this is...
Not Crocodile Dundee.
No, Crocodile...
No, not Crocodile.
No. The Crocodile Hunter.
Yes.
The Crocodile
Steve
Hunter.
Steve Irwin, sir. That's not a R.I.P.
Mr. Steve Irwin, back when he was alive. This is before he was dead. When he was alive, he came into the regular guys.
I remember
guys,
that, yeah.
And it wasn't... I guess you did get to meet him, didn't you?
I did, but I was ushered...
Right away.
Quickly out of that room.
This is the first time I ever saw the insane side of Autumn. I'd probably known her for a few months at that point. I thought, wow, she's really cool. She likes the Beatles. Good friend.
Oh, turns out she's not.
No, this was the first time. So then after the Crocodile Hunter left, in the old studio, there was a window in a room where the interns and producer was. And I look around and see her crying. And I went in there and I said, well, what's the matter? And so she really liked the Crocodile Hunter, and I thought, what, you didn't get to meet him? And, I mean, it was not just a little bit of crying. It was hysterical. No, but they move me aside, and then other people get to have time with him, and they don't even know what he's about.
I had a long conversation.
It was like that.
Hyperbole. It was like this. You know, people ripping a page out of their notebook trying to get his autograph I actually care.
It was usually the salespeople that were all lounging.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that. It was just a very weirdo moment from a 19-year-old Autumn.
Yeah, she came into my office and was sobbing. I was like, what's the matter?
I ran board for the Peach 94.9 guys that day when they interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Steve got into a long conversation about sheep farming in England and stuff.
Oh, well,
and
there you go.
Cool.
Well, that was he's.
Well, now I'm mad at you.
Yeah. You got into a good, long, interesting conversation.
Wow, do you ever have sex with him?
You know what? You know what? Let's fulfill a fantasy here.
No, it was not.
I want
sexual.
You to have. No, I know what
no,
that's.
No.
No, I'm saying.
And you know what? I can't even get back there now.
Okay, I just
want to
know what kind of.
Gone.
What would you have talked about if you could have had a moment, 5 minutes, to talk to Steve Irwin?
It wasn't. Like, I had so many things that I wanted to talk
about. You live my show,
about.
Thanks.
It was more about I just wanted, like, a genuine moment with that person.
Okay, well, what would you have said?
As someone who appreciated that. I don't know.
You would have said, I really love your show. Right?
Oh, great. Thanks.
What's your favorite animal?
I found his wife to be somewhat severe.
Yeah, she was definitely a harsher. She's very – well, she's kind of one of those country
– They were exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, the two people should be married.
Yeah.
It was those two.
Daughter's hot.
I don't think the daughter was around.
Bindi?
Was she
there? Wasn't born yet.
She was born then.
Not then.
How old is she now?
Baloney. She's alive.
How old is she now?
What are you talking about? She's alive.
Okay, this is what, 2003?
No, 2002. Two or something.
Bindi.
One.
She's carrying on in her father's footsteps. I know that.
Erwin. All right, Bindi Irwin is 19.
Is she the other Crocodile Hunter?
She'll have
new,
a career, yeah.
Is she the all-new Crocodile
she
Hunter?
She has a career.
Is she related?
Does she do the same thing? She does shows on nature?
Yeah, she's following in her dad's footsteps.
When I was growing up, it was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Let me see here, Timmy.
She's 19. He just likes her because she's got some big boobs.
She looks very young. She looks very
young. She's 19. That is very young.
Yeah, I know, but she looks young
for a 19-year-old. I like her because she's smart. Autumn, give me a break.
Oh, he's not.
She has a lot of... I have no idea what she looks like because I'm a well-adjusted...
It has nothing to do with her billabongs, mate.
Grown man.
Billabongs. Yeah.
She makes my didgeridoo go... Wow.
Oh, yeah, bro time.
Go, 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 Westman, young man.
Who started the... I mean, what, how did that start?
We talked about
it. I think we talked...
What it is, but I mean, who started doing it? Like
Jared did it one day.
No. I don't mean here. Oh. I mean that it became part of bro culture.
It was something to do with like a morning show or something.
No. It was DJs would play it.
Oh.
When they're spinning.
Like, over, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They mix it in.
And then radio DJs started doing it over songs you hear on the radio.
Oh, like,
so annoying.
Like, this is a really good one.
Anyway, yes, there's a freedom that these drag queens possess. Maybe all of the time that they have to put into themselves, maybe that seems appealing. I don't know.
Do you think there's any mental illness involved or no?
I think with some of them, there are some of them where I can almost like they make when I watch them on YouTube or I've seen them in shows or whatever, it's almost like I feel their pathology.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like ooh.
They're acting out from, you know, who knows? It might be all
sometimes,
wonderful, but.
But then other people are just like super normal and fun and, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. Listen, Trixie Brian has talked about his past and it is very troubled.
Sure.
And she makes jokes like where, something about my dad. Just kidding. I never had a dad. I don't know if you could tell that I didn't grow up with a male presence.
Okay, no, we were talking about this earlier, me and Tim, that comedy comes usually from learning how to deal with some very difficult things.
Yeah, I was listening to...
Funny people usually have a bit of a kind of crazy background.
You cope with laughter.
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, his guest this week is Dave Thomas, and I figured Eric would like that because he's SCTV alum, but he considers funny being funny and the ability to be a comedian is a disorder.
I kind of understand what he's talking about.
Yeah,
because you know when you're in school and stuff, and you're not the quarterback on the football team, or you're not
the
good looking one or whatever. You gain acceptance.
Yeah,
it's almost like an evolution kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
the way that you gain acceptance is you make people laugh.
And if you can't do that, you become a serial killer.
Well, right. One or the other.
Right.
I think I made the right choice.
That's why, you know, a lot of people...
What?
It's not that women aren't allowed in the boys' club of comedy. It's that women don't have to be funny, necessarily.
To get acceptance.
They don't have to use being funny to not get beat up.
You know, in a weird way. Also, in a weird way, this may come off the wrong way. I don't mean it the wrong way. But even if you're a girl in school and maybe you're not the most attractive girl, because guys are such dogs, you can actually still find guys.
Oh, sure.
Whereas if you're not very attractive as a guy in school, it's not a whole lot's going to happen.
Guess
you
got to be gay.
Yeah.
You got to find another way to be.
What'd you say?
I guess I'll just be gay.
Yeah, I'll go into the priesthood.
Where are they at?
I have a question for Oldham about the drag queen fascination.
Yeah.
And I think I know the answer. Is any of this for you sexual? Because they're men.
She refuses. No, nothing is sexual with her.
For some reason, I do have like a little crush on on Brian.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's just...
But not Sasha.
Is it like... wait a minute. Is it one of those things that women quite often have that you feel like you could heal him?
No.
Or
women
you could
never
help
have
him.
That, by the way.
Oh, no. Women always feel like they can fix a guy.
No,
why do you think they marry such jerks? They feel like, I'll bring them around.
Yeah.
Well, that's their dad.
Oh, is that their dad?
No, Oldham probably feels like she could hang out with these drag queens and they could do makeup together and go shopping together.
Yeah. See, maybe it's not really a crush. It's more like, I want to be...
It's like a bromance in a weird
accepted.
Way.
Accepted.
You want to be friends.
You want to be their friend. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I want to be their friend. And that's how I felt about Pete Holmes. I was like, I really feel like if I knew Pete Holmes, we would be friends.
Well, that's obviously how you feel about the Crocodile Hunter. But you know what's weird?
But then I think it was a different motivation. Then I just wanted genuine interaction. Not like, you're just another fan. I'll treat you just like a normal fan. I wanted to be like, wow. You know, like some weird connection.
Can I tell you, that I'm being honest here. I think you should be like a PR person for these people. You're so into it, and that would get you into the circle, and then your motivation is to get them booked more, and then you get more of them, and then before you know it, you're hanging out backstage laughing it up with your favorite drag queen.
Well, you know, I realized something at the airport when I was going home. So,
this is an epiphany of some kind.
Just like a little bit of a realization about who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
which is, I think I'm the kind of person that never wants to be caught being uncool, not on purpose. Okay, so I don't mind being uncool. I'm fine with that. I don't mind talking about my pitfalls, my flaws, all that stuff. I'm totally fine with that. But if I'm busted on a flaw, then I feel like shame. And this is a weird, tiny micro example where I'm on the train. You know, the please stand clear of the closing doors in MARTA. Yeah. Not in MARTA.
In the airport. The shuttle.
Yeah. And
is it a shuttle? What do you call it? The tram. I don't know.
The little tram.
Plane train is what they call it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. plane train. So I'm standing there and I refuse to, I refuse to hold on to the handles or the bars. And I just like surf. I just stand there, you know, and I see everyone else holding on to things and like stumbling around, but I don't. And I'm thinking, I hope people look at me and see me not holding on to something and think, look at her not holding on. Cool. Oh, and she's not falling and she's cool. What? That's so stupid.
But and then you think they go, oh, I'd like to know her. I bet you she's really cool.
Yeah. I don't even take it that far. Right. Just like, I just want them to notice that one, I'm not holding on, and two, I'm not falling because
I gotta tell you,
on.
I think most people are like this. I think that most people are like this. I think most people don't mind. Nobody wants to be caught. You know, in a flaw, but it's another thing if you write a book about your flaws.
But I do things.
You're trying to be cool.
I'm trying to be cool.
You're trying to impress. But don't you think that most people do that? I mean, almost everybody.
Strangers?
Sure, absolutely. When I was a kid, now what I would say is it might be a little immature. I don't know, but because when I was a kid, I did it.
Look at me, everybody. Yeah. I'm not holding on to anything.
All the time. All the time. When I was a kid, if I was in a crowd, I would try to do something to. The same kind of thing. I may have been wasn't articulating it in my head, but I wanted other people in the crowd to notice me and be like, oh, he's cool. And that's
I told you that story about at my daycare. They took us to the movies one day, and it was the Jetsons movie.
Oh, that movie was awful.
At the end,
this is how much older I am than you.
Rotten Tomatoes score.
This is how much older I am than you. I took my oldest son to see that movie.
Well, we were there, and at the very end of it, you know, the very last line, nothing happened.
21%
end on a joke, but I laugh out loud. Just to like make everybody feel like they missed something, but I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
An a-hole.
When I was a kid,
I hate myself.
No, I'm telling you, no. When I was a kid, I always had this thing about being seen as somebody who's an authority of some kind.
Mm.
And when I was one of my earliest memories, not the earliest, but some of the first memories I have. One of them is I'm 5 years old, and because I know where I lived when I was 5 years old, and there was an access road down at the bottom of our lawn next to a railroad track, and one day there was just guys out there patching up some stuff, you know, just like patching the road.
Yeah,
and so I set myself up down the road, stopping cars to let them know, look out down there. There's a, you know, and like I and I.
How old were you? Said
I, five. I'm stopping. All right, like in my mind, they're looking at me like, wow, he's like a grown man telling us he must be employed by the state of Ohio.
That's really cute.
And then a couple of years later, I lived on a place that had a dock. It was a small dock. And I put on like a fake
badge.
It was the size of the bay it was on. I put on a badge.
You're
a fake
sheriff.
A fake badge. No, and I would walk up and down the dock and act like I was like patrolling the dock. Just There was nobody on the dock. There was, wasn't like there was a lot of traffic or anything. It was just, I felt like somewhere somebody in the world would see me and think, oh, that guy's obviously in charge of that dock.
Well,
he's something else. So this is why we get along on him, because we have we have things in common. And that's what made me want to be a rock star or whatever, I think, when I was in my teens. Because what's more, somebody's looking at you going, wow, that guy's really cool.
Yeah, you're the top of the heap at that
point.
He's
got like hit songs. And,
like, and, you know. And I love the sort of aspect of our show. If I'm being totally honest, I love the aspect of our show that, like, I go into the green room before the live lounge.
Yeah,
you know, I do, like, too. I get to go here.
Yeah, I do, too. I've always, you know, when I've even in losing a job.
I wish I was a better person than that.
Like, what makes you wrong? What's wrong with that? No. What's wrong with that?
Because
you're better than politicians.
It's rolling around in access.
Sure.
You know, like rolling around, like appreciating it instead of just being humble, like, oh, I get to go here. It's like, yes, I get to go here.
Yeah, you can't come back.
And I'm not looking, it doesn't mean that I'm looking down on other people, but it does
no, you just
make
like
me
it.
Feel
you
elevated.
Enjoy it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying it.
Go ahead.
How I look at those kind of access things, like when we used to do Music Midtown with 96 Rock and we had that backstage area, I have earned the right to be here because I do this job. And that's why I should be here. So
don't you miss it? Because I hate going to those things now because you can't have that.
Exactly. I don't want to go to these things. Like, if I'm going to this Trixie Mattel thing, I'm getting VIP. Like, I want VIP tickets.
I just got, he just responded saying, let me find out from the powers that be. So,
all right. Sure. So you're halfway.
Most concerts, when you get on the list to go to a concert, you're into the concert. There's no.
Yeah, but, whether or not you get up. But you know what? Right, a drag queen or something probably makes herself very available after a show the same way that we do.
She's real big, though.
Real big. Meaning
she's size real popular. Or?
Right, but so I'm saying might, is that you look.
She might only do the VIP meet and greets.
There's an absolute you have to pay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Couple now you
bucks.
Do. She's
Should
real
we
big.
Do that?
I think she might
we just
have won
give it
stars.
Away after the Friday, after the live lounging.
Well, maybe we should
learn. Yeah, if you want to come over here and say hi, that's going to cost you $2.
No, but radio's always been free, hasn't it, radio stuff?
No, I know that this feeling, because even in regular jobs, which before I was able to get my career going in a normal way, like my mid-20s, I had regular jobs, a billion of them. And when I would lose a job, or I would leave a job, or I get fired, or say at a restaurant, and maybe I still knew people there, the thing that would bother me if I went back in, like, to get my last paycheck or something, it would really bother me that I couldn't go into the kitchen anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It would really, like, it's like, I used to be able to walk in, and so it, and that's kind of weird. Like, that's access.
Authorized personnel.
Yeah. That I can't.
Me.
How come I can't go through that door anymore? Yeah. Bother me more than anything else.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. At hotels, I always think, now I know, because I worked at that hotel.
Yeah.
Now I know kind of how the employee entrances work, like all these little doors that you don't normally notice if you've never worked in a hotel.
Right.
You don't really see because they put them in places where you don't normally go, or because you're not supposed to notice them. And now I know where they are, and so I always, even though I don't, here's the ice maker, here's the vending machine, here's the door where they bring up the room service.
Yeah.
I want to go in there. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, because it's access.
Because it's access.
Yeah.
And I want to sneak. When I lived in Midtown, I tried to sneak into that W Hotel pool so many times.
Really?
Just sometimes it was a big pain in the butt. Like, I didn't want to really go swimming, but I just wanted to sneak in. I just wanted access.
Well, it's, so when you talk about all the people that I want to meet now, there's no way to meet them normally. You know, like David Byrne's coming to town, same thing. Because I think I know some people. Maybe I would. But if I was backstage with David Byrne, what the hell would I say of any interest whatsoever?
I guarantee he doesn't hang out very long.
You don't know. You know what? I think his personality is a little different than the projected personality.
I think he might just. Okay, it's showtime.
Maybe.
Out of the van.
What is he, 65 now or something?
Yeah.
But especially how we understand what it's like on the other side, where it's. We're not. I'm not saying that we're David Byrne, but we do understand that people want to maybe meet us.
Or say hello. Right.
Yeah, and say hello. Now we know what that's like. And so it's almost like now I have even more of an in. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You are.
Dad could talk to David Byrne about fame. We both dealt with it.
Yeah.
I hate all the things I'm saying.
No, it's nothing wrong with it. It's a normal, we're goofy people. Everybody's goofy.
We're snobby, goofy people.
Because it does, right,
kidding.
Nick? It does sound snobby. It does sound
it
like
does,
I feel like
I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
Like, I know what it's like to be famous now. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
No. I don't think it sounds snobby at all. I think it's just the human condition. Everybody wants access.
Yes.
That's what you look now. They sell VIP tickets like you're talking about. That that means there's no such thing as VIP anymore.
Not if you buy your way in.
If you can buy your way. VIP started because just in case Johnny Carson shows up. Just in case Bob Hope shows up.
Yeah.
VIP,
how about that, huh?
VIP was places for people who are really, really famous or really, really rich who don't want to deal with the normal process. So if Johnny Carson walks, if it's 1978 and Johnny Carson goes to your show and he walks, if he has to walk in the front access, then he's going to be mobbed. So we have the VIP play. Now, the whole concept of VIP is just another level. That so wherever the real VIPs are, it's not called anything anymore. Because if you're if Mick Jagger goes to a Foo Fighters show, he doesn't buy a VIP pass to get backstage.
No.
He's over in the real VIP.
Yeah, he comes in the same entrance as the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, you buy the VIP pass. So
I was just looking at this online. I was looking to get tickets to see Chrissy Metz at Center Stage.
Is
she coming up.
Is that a drag queen too?
No, Chrissy Metz is the plus-sized woman on This Is Us. And she's, you know, she has a book tour, and a lot of tickets are selling well. But to meet her,
does she go on stage and eat in front of you or something?
You know, that's horrible, Eric. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I am triggered now. I need to go get a burger.
No.
It's a
lovely get up. Lady. I don't know what to tell you. Sit down. Get up.
Sit down. Roll over.
Don't get on the
over.
Table.
Body shaming.
Just go time out. That's what you want. You want to just put me into time out.
But they're $95 a piece just to get your picture taken with her and her autograph. So I'm not.
Yeah. What? $95 and pay for look. Why would you?
But you get a good ticket for that too, right?
Are we boring you? You okay? You still awake over there?
You also get a bag of Doritos and gravy.
Stop.
Yeah, you're just picking up where I was.
You boys.
After condemning me. And by the way, I'm going to go to confession for the first time in 40 years.
Can't wait.
Actually, it's the first time in 53 years.
Let me know what your penance
is. I've never gone before.
Then you can't go. If you've never gone, then you can't go to confession. You have
You got
to
be, I know, you got to go through.
Were
I
you
tried.
Confirmed?
I started catechism but didn't finish.
Right.
Like everything else. That which means we're
so you didn't have First Communion either?
No. No.
Tim can't be a part of this show anymore. Now he knows.
All right, so Eric, you'll buy my ticket to this drag show.
What are you, like this lady who this fan who wants to borrow money from me?
Yeah. I think you're great. I'm just a fan.
But here's my thing. I want to have this discussion since English Nick is here and he knows people involved. So I don't go to shows hardly anymore. So I get really focused on the fact that David Byrne's coming to town.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a long time. I love his music.
Mm-hmm.
Been listening to all, you know, you go back into the catalog and it's been great. Talking Heads, solo stuff. And I really want to see him on this tour because he's 65 or something. How many more tours are left? I don't know. So. But then I realize it's a festival.
It's the festival. It's the first day of the festival. He's shaking knees.
And there's a gazillion people.
Yeah.
And you have to buy a $100 ticket to see everybody. Well, I only want to see one guy.
Well, I have to text the man who runs the festival and find out if he'll actually get us in for free.
Yeah, but see, it's not going to work that way because I want to bring my wife and my kids are interested. I want it to be a thing, you know? But so I don't. So I started looking at other places that he's going to be.
Other tour stops.
Turns out this guy, anybody know how old he is? I think he's 65 or something.
Just look him up. Hang on.
This guy is on, he is touring from, he's going to start in a couple of days.
Yeah.
He may have already started.
I think he just started.
Yeah. He just started. And he is touring all over the world until, where does this end?
Never.
August 4th. Man, it's like, how old is he? 65?
You know why? Because he's part Scottish. He's got Scottish blood in him.
Man, oh man. That's a hell of a tour. I mean, it's just nonstop. But he's going to be in Dayton. I have relatives, and my brother-in-law lives in Dayton.
Oh, you want to get a hotel then?
Yeah. I could go.
Right.
And I can just pay to see the one show that I want to see.
Would you drive or fly?
And can I tell you, I'd probably drive. You know, kind of offends me.
He's 65.
He's 65. That doesn't offend me. He has a right to. You okay now? I'm boring everybody on my
day. No.
I thought we were having a pretty good podcast. Everybody's yawning.
I yawned once. I yawned once.
That's all it takes, pal.
When I wasn't
maybe
a part
he's
of
real
the
excited.
Yeah.
You know, like when sometimes like athletes and stuff yawn because they're just real excited and nervous.
Well, I saw Taisha Fernandez on TV behind you, and I was like, oh, okay, I want to hear more about this water main break.
You know, you fall in love with people on TV, and
one. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Oh, Eric, you just did what Tim does to you.
No, no, no.
What was that?
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I meant to say that. I meant to go there. It sort of offends me. Not offends me. It offends my sensibilities that the first day there's 8,000 bands, and David Byrne is the second to last day.
Yeah, he's on before Jack White, right?
Okay, Jack White is
there'll be two stages probably.
But David Byrne...
Yeah, but more kids...
I mean, come on.
It's the age group, Eric.
Let's talk about catalogs here.
It's the age group that go to that festival.
Why? Because
more of those kids have Jack White records.
I want to meet David Byrne, but what am I going to say to him?
The David Byrne records.
Hey, do you like the White Stripes?
Hey, I really like Talking Heads. I like Raccoon Tours.
Can I borrow one of your suits?
Yeah, but somebody's not in.
I know. I'm going to try and get you in.
I can't go alone.
Oh, I'll go with you.
Jared is going to go with you.
We're all going to do that. That's $100 a piece.
Yeah, screw that.
Brian Jonestown Massacre will be there. That guy's crazy.
Just get a weekend ticket and go all weekend.
Eric, do it.
I'm on the old
man. You only go around this S Pebble.
I just want to see David Byrne.
You're close to the end of that conveyor belt of life you keep talking about.
Send it all.
Same as it ever was.
Happy birthday, Peter Wolf.
Oh, that's another one. Oh, is the music over now?
Yes, it's over, you guys.
I talked past the music.
Get off my...
Alan, are you hearing me, Alan?
Where's Alan?
Alan's over there. Alan. He doesn't even know.
He's in Watermain Hell.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm not done. I'm still talking.
Get off my lawn.
We talked past the music.
Hey, shut up in there.
Can you start the music? Huh? I know. Can you start it again? I stalked past it. And then I passed it. The music. Oh, he's being mean to me.
No, he's not busy.
He's busy doing
stupid water main flooding Buford Highway.
Rush Limbaugh.
Tim is so good.
He does Alan better than Alan.
Hang on.
All right, there's a thing going on over here. He's got to go live. There we are. All right, we're going to do it again tomorrow, 9 a.m. Until then, get off my lawn.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.